Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon actually is none of the texts that we have read up to this point. From Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has promised them, prepared for them a city. This is the text. Title for the sermon has to be done with some motion. Title for the sermon is, "These are not the kingdoms you are looking for." Some of you may recognize the rough phrasing and the motion. These are not the kingdoms you are looking for. Someone call out where that's from. Star Wars. Yeah. As in, these are not the droids you are looking for. These are not the kingdoms you are looking for. And struck me that that was absolutely a fantastically appropriate sermon title coming up to this weekend when, what is it, 3 days from now? Something happens. The elections. And I remember years ago, in fact, it was exactly 4 years ago, Pastor Friend said to me, "One thing I know, and that is after Tuesday, 30 to 40% of my congregation, no matter who wins, 30 to 40% will be convinced that this is the absolute worst thing that could ever have happened in their lives. And I will have to deal with that on the coming Sunday." So, these are not the kingdoms you are looking for. They are not. It's not the Republican kingdom. It's not the Democrat kingdom. These are not the kingdoms you are looking for. Remember Abraham, who went out, called by God to go, and to wait and look for and hope for a city, a homeland. And it wasn't the city and the homeland that he was walking through as he walked through Palestine. It was a city founded and built by God. It was the real kingdom, the kingdom that we are looking for. Remember that this week, even if the one you're voting for wins, these are not the kingdoms you are looking for. Kingdoms of this world will disappoint. Kingdoms of this world will fall short. Kingdoms of this world will do the wrong things, even if it's the one that you really, really want. Kingdoms of this world will not endure. Finally, and in the long run, they all must give way, because there is a kingdom coming. And it is the kingdom that we are looking for. Okay, so far. And then, but really threw things into a turmoil, was Wednesday evening into the night, into the very late night. For some it was into the early morning. For some it was until the sun came up. You know what happened? Yeah, the Cubs won. And I was proven wrong. I was really hoping to be proven wrong that the world would not end at the ninth inning of the World Series. And the rain rolled in, and I'm saying to myself, oh boy. This is just toying now. And then the rain cleared and the Cubs won, and yeah. But guess what? 108 years of waiting, and still, these are not the kingdoms you are looking for. Little trivia. I was delighted when the one hockey superstition leaked over into baseball, and the Cubs having won the National League pennant, none of the players would touch the trophy. Because if you do that, maybe you'll be satisfied with that and not remember that you are pursuing something greater. And that actually has something to say about our faith. Remember that you are pursuing something greater. And then there was, what was it, yesterday? Crowd of how many? 5 million? Realize? That's nothing. That is absolutely nothing compared to the crowd that we're going to be a part of. 1 billion? Maybe 2? And maybe much more, depending on how long Jesus waits before he comes back. But there will be a multitude that no one can count, stretching as far as the eye can see, from every tribe and people and nation and language, standing before the throne wearing white robes with palm branches in their hands, singing, shouting, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's what we're waiting for. So for the Cub fans, these are not the kingdoms you are looking for. Let's shout out other kingdoms. Oh, let's say family, retirement, the many pleasures of this world. Realize these are exactly the kingdoms that many are looking for. And they pursue these things, and they think and they hope for that they will satisfy, that they will fill the soul. And perhaps for a little while there is a satisfaction. There's a feeling of being fulfilled, but after that, then what? These are not the kingdoms you are looking for, or at least they should not be the kingdoms you are looking for. Remember that you have been called to something greater and something other than what you can find in this world. And then, this afternoon, 3:45, pastor rolls up in a truck with a church bell in the back, and what was it, 6, 7, 8 guys lift it off and place it outside, and now we've got another one of the visible things that go with being a church. And yet, these are not the kingdoms you are looking for. All the visible things, the walls, the altar, pulpit, Clavinova, the hymnals, all of these things are destined for being swept away when the greater comes. And that's what we're looking for. That's the kingdom that we are looking for, and it is coming because it is Jesus who is going to bring it. Jesus who said, "Not one stone will be left on another." In fact, come to think of it, part of the whole problem is in the idea of a kingdom that we are looking for, because instead it is a kingdom manifested in the king of that kingdom that comes looking for us. We didn't seek him out. We didn't find him. We didn't claim him. We didn't discover him. But he came for us. And because Jesus has come for us, because he is the one who kept straight in his mind, in his heart, and in his soul what kingdom he was looking for, after Hebrews 11, next chapter, we hear about Jesus who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, because he was seeking a kingdom, the kingdom of having us as his people. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom that comes hunting for us, that comes following us and pursuing us. And then we ask, exactly what does this kingdom look like? And this is why we latch on to certain things. Because deep in our souls, you know, I know, we are called by the eternal, by the things that will never get swept away, by the things that are permanent and solid through all eternity. This is part of what we celebrate at All Saints Sunday. There are eternal things that have taken a hold of our loved ones. Those gone from us and gone from this life, but they have been bound to and connected with an eternal Savior, an eternal Word, an eternal Gospel, and they are kept safe for all eternity. So we remember. We read out the names and we say, this is the record of the saints, those believers in Jesus who at his coming will rise and be glorious together with him. They are the saints in heaven, and they are resting from their labors and enjoying simply being with Christ. But again, what are the eternal things? That's an important question to ask, because in those eternal things we find the kingdom that we are searching for, the kingdom that grabs a hold of us. So the eternal things are the Word of God planted in our souls, connecting with our souls, the Word that holds on to us, the Word that connects us with everything that is eternal. So the Word of God that says, your sins are forgiven, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And from Jesus, because I live, you will live. And all of those promises of God throughout the Bible. That's the eternal things. And then the eternal things are also the name of God. The name of God that is given to us, spoken to us, poured over us with the water, that we are being marked by God, marked by His eternal name, as we have the name of the triune God spoken over us. That's part of the eternal things. And third, on this evening, we have something that is eternal that is going to be put in our mouths. We have the Lord's Supper. And what do we say that we eat and drink when we come to the Lord's Supper? The living, risen from the dead, body and blood of Jesus, given to us for forgiveness, given to us to connect with us and hold us body and soul as connected with Jesus and one with Him. These are eternal things that come to us in our lives. No matter what happens in our lives, the great times of blessing, they come and they go. The times of trial, they come and they go. In fact, we come and we go. But these eternal things, they last, and they last forever. And when we are connected with Jesus, by His word, by His name, by His body and His blood, by His promises, when we are connected with Jesus, why, we have eternity within us. That's what pulls and tugs us. That's how the King of this kingdom, that's how the kingdom comes searching for us and calling to us and reminding us who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.